Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Fight Like a Girl. My name is Rav and with me today is the gorgeous Ella. Hi Ella, how are you?
I'm good, thank you Rav. I'm good. I'm in a good mood today, in a good mood this week. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good as well. I have had an awesome week. Daniel Ricciardo won the Monza Grand Prix, so
yes,
very excited about that. It was his first win since 2018. The only real shit thing that's happened to me this week is that I think I'm ovulating, so I basically just want to eat everything in sight.
I feel you. I think I'm the same because I think you and I have synced up, haven't we? Yeah. I'm the same.
Yeah, you're right.
I noticed today when I bought a family pack of crispy M&Ms that, the time had come.
I love that. Crispy M&Ms. I didn't know you were a crispy M&M girl. Good to know.
Oh, they're my M&Ms, guys. If anyone's listening and you want to, crispy M&Ms are my kryptonite.
Have you ever had the caramel ones?
I haven't. I'm sure they're good, but sometimes I'm just like, it's too much. The reason I like the crispy M&Ms is just like a little bit different to the normal M&Ms, but like a bit of crisp as the name suggests. So
you haven't actually tried them?
No. Nah.
Oh my God, Ella.
Are they good?
They are next level. That you have to try them. I know what you mean by thinking that the caramel is going to be too much, but I promise you it's not.
They'll be my next purchase when I make my way through this bag, which, let's face it, will be probably in a few minutes.
Well, on the show today, J-Lo and Ben Affleck. Whether you love them or hate them, Bennifer is back. Well, for now anyway, we put the question out to you guys on what your thoughts and experiences are on people breaking up and getting back together. So we can't wait to unpack that. We have another listener dilemma this week. They're still rolling in and we love it. This week, we've got one from a male listener who is looking for some advice on the best openers to use when breaking the ice on dating apps. But first, let's talk about real estate. Ella, you came across an article this week by the ABC that had a pretty shocking headline. Tell us about it.
Yes, a really shocking statistic is if we haven't been through enough in this lockdown. New stats came out to say that house prices have jumped more than $52,000 in 3 months. And also that they've risen 19% higher than they were at the start of the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
So which is just insane. Like, I know not all of our listeners are from Sydney, but everyone, it's, pretty universally known that house prices in Sydney are out of control and we're, waiting for the bubble to burst. But will it ever burst? We don't know.
Ella, I know you are currently not a home/apartment owner. How did the article make you feel?
Yeah, look, it's just disheartening and a little bit demoralizing, without being dramatic. Buying a home is kind of the Australian dream. And when you're living in Sydney, you know it's going to be something that you can't do in your 20s, and it's something you will probably do later in life than some of the rest of the states. Like Queensland, majority of my friends and families have owned homes since they've been in their early 20s.
Mm.
It's a little bit difficult because cost of living is higher in Sydney. So buying a home in my 20s was never a goal of mine, but certainly one that I thought I'd be able to achieve in my 30s. As if it wasn't hard enough already, to see the just how much it's risen in 3 months, $52,000 would get you a house deposit in Brisbane. Or used to get you a house deposit in Brisbane. So just to put it into perspective, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm from Queensland as well, so I know exactly what you mean. I mean, I'm from an even cheaper place, Townsville. So $52,000 would probably actually get you an apartment in Townsville. I bet your Townsville listeners are like, fuck off. It does not.
I love it.
You guys know what I mean. So yeah, I mean, look, you already kind of touched on this and said that owning a home was something that you were considering that you'd be able to do in your 20s and at least in your 30s. So realistically, after reading that article, when do you think you'll be able to buy your own place with the way that house prices are going at the moment?
God, I mean, yeah, not anytime soon, that's for sure. And I want to preface it by saying I'm quite lucky. I have a decent paying job. I know the average Australian income is about $85,000. You know, I'm above that. So I'm certainly not crying poor mouth at all. But to be able to afford a 20% deposit when house prices are just rising that much is insane. And I've got a partner, of course, so I've got that benefit of, you know, dual income. Even with that benefit, it's not going to be happening in the next couple of years. You know, we're looking like a couple of years down the track for sure.
I mean, that's, yeah, it's pretty disappointing when you put it like that in terms of how much it throws like your life plan off track a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess, would you ever consider buying outside of Sydney?
100%. And that's my plan. And it has been my plan, you know, even before this article came out. Like, I've been acutely aware of just how insane things are getting in Sydney. And it's like, why would I bust my ass to try and buy a one bedroom apartment here just to get in the market, buy a home far out in the western suburbs and have to travel an hour and a half just to get into the city each day or get to work each day? It's just not worth it.
And I think, to your point, you know, when you just mentioned moving out of Sydney and, you know, commuting for longer if you have to, now that we've had COVID, I guess that's one, I don't want to say positive, but it's one thing that's changed the way that we do things, which is the ability to work from home. So
totally.
So many people have done that where they've moved out because the commute is no longer a factor that people are considering when they're picking where to live. So,
yeah, and you make a really good point. I've got a ton of friends, some of whom are probably listening, who have moved to Woi Woi and moved to parts of the Central Coast because that's where they could afford a really nice home, and they're just making it work. And that's kind of the trend that we're seeing now with people kind of moving further out because they can get the home that they want and commuting is no longer an issue. So that's one positive, hey?
You mentioned just then that, you know, you've got a few friends that have sort of done that in moving outside of Sydney. Do you feel any sort of resentment towards people who are homeowners, especially given the current climate in that news article?
I do. I know it's really bad because it's not their fault that they've been able to do it and I haven't. I get a little bit resentful, if I'm being completely honest, and I hope that my honesty is resonates with some people listening. I get resentful when I know that they've had help and I won't ever get that help. You know, hats off to the people who've got parents who have contributed a great deal to their deposit, A, or B, that they've had the luxury of being able to live at home for a period of time and save that money for a deposit. I will never be in a position to do that. I've got my mum. I've only got my mum, no dad anymore. And she's got her hands full with, you know, everything like that. And I can't expect, you know, she's certainly not going to be giving me tens of thousands of dollars to go towards a house deposit. And the same thing, I'll never be in a position where I can live rent free anywhere. So I'm going to have to continue to pay exorbitant rent fees each week whilst also saving for a deposit. So that's only when I get resentful. I honestly take my hat off to people that have those opportunities because, you know, I would do it in a heartbeat if I could.
No, I totally get that. I don't think you need to feel bad about that. I definitely remember feeling like that before I got into the market as well.
Well, that's right. You're actually a homeowner, Rav, you know, and that's amazing. You bought your first home last year. Are you glad you got into the market when you did?
Yeah, absolutely. Buying a home is not an impulse buy. You know, you don't make the decision just overnight and then kind of go in guns blazing. So there were many times that I sort of throughout the process was thinking, am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing this later? Maybe I should wait, because this was kind of towards the start of the pandemic. So because of the uncertainty in the world at that point in time, I was thinking, holy shit, what if I go into this and literally next week or next month, the market just drops.
Totally.
But I think for me, similar to you, Ella, I was kind of thinking to myself that I would be ticking off that milestone at some point, you know, in my late 20s or early 30s. So that was probably the driving factor for me to just rip the band-aid off and just do it.
Good on you. Honestly, it's so impressive, because what is so disheartening about, I guess, that article and the jump in house prices for me is that most people were already looking at needing around, you know, $200,000 for a house deposit. Now that's looking at around $300,000, $400,000 just for a deposit. Like,
that's wild.
It's nuts. Yeah. So how does anyone in Sydney do that while also paying, as I said before, exorbitant rent fees? You've done it by yourself in Sydney at the age of 30. How the fuck did you do it?
Oh, thanks. Now I feel really embarrassed now. I'm like, for anyone that knows me, I'm the worst at taking compliments.
So. I know, but it's honestly... I tell everyone when I talk, like, most people know you now, Raf, but when I'm telling my friends about you, I'm like, she's a boss bitch. She bought her own house by herself at 30. Honestly, I know you're very humble, but you've actually achieved the impossible, really. So you should be proud. How exactly did you do it?
Look, honestly, for me, it was probably just similar to yourself, Ella. I am just in a position where I have got a good job. So I was able to just really, you know, save essentially. Yeah. And I would say for probably a year, all I did was save. And that was a combination of me going through my separation/divorce. So I had a lot of time to just sort of be on my own. And I know we actually mentioned this back in the episode where we were talking about shared finances and stuff, but I found it harder to save money when I was in a relationship, because I really don't know why. Our costs, even though they were being split, it was like we were spending more.
I'm the same.
Anyway, I'm not going to go on a rant about that. If you guys want to listen, go back and listen to that episode. But yeah, like I feel like when I became single, I had more money for myself. I had more control over my money. So I literally just saved and saved and saved. And then COVID came along. So that made it a lot easier to save as well, because I'm a big traveler. I love holidays. I feel like I would pick experiences over gifts. So when you take that off the table and I can't travel anywhere anymore either, then naturally I'm going to be saving that money. And I did leverage some of the grants that were available through the government as well. So I was eligible for part of the stamp duty concession, not all of it because of the price of my property, but that helped offset some of the cost as well. And I was lucky. I'm not going to sit here and say that I came up with a $200,000 deposit all on my own. My parents guarantored a part of my loan as well. Not much, just enough to get me over so that I wouldn't have to pay lender's mortgage insurance. But that did help as well. Even though I'm in a position where my parents could help me out with a deposit, it kind of goes against what I believe in and how I want to live.
Yeah.
I don't really want a handout from them. I feel like they've done so much for me, sort of getting me to where I am today in terms of just even, you know, moving me from India to Australia. So I don't really need anything else from them.
Yeah.
Then this year we've gone back into a lockdown. So all I've been doing is just trying to like pay off their portion of the loan as quickly as possible.
So they can come off the, yeah, that's amazing, Rav. Even though you did buy at a better time than this year, so to speak, do you wish you'd bought sooner than you did, or are you happy that you're just happy that you got in when you did?
If you would have asked me this question 3 years ago, I would have been dying to buy a house then. But now that I'm divorced, I'm so glad I did not buy a house then, because then I would have had to go through the shit show of trying to divide assets and stuff. I'm a huge believer of everything happens for a reason. So
yeah,
no regrets. I'm glad I got in when I did.
Good. That's good. And I mean, this insane jump in house prices must actually be kind of good news for you. Are you gonna get your place valued soon?
Yeah, 100%, because I definitely think it's gone up quite a bit, and COVID has actually made it hard for valuers to come out as well, because, I mean, they could do one online, but as you know, Ella, you've been to my place before.
Yeah.
I've made a few changes with, like, getting a wall removed and everything, which would have increased the price of the place because it's opened up the space quite a bit. I think that'll work in my favor.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear it, how it goes. Yeah. And so what's your long-term plan? The plan to sort of use equity in this home and buy something else or?
Yeah, I think so. I am hoping to move slightly closer to the city. I would still say I'm pretty close to the city, but I wouldn't mind being a little closer just once we open up and stuff, given I lead a pretty social life on the weekends. Yeah, I'm thinking potentially, depending on how the valuation goes, yeah, I might leverage some of the equity in my apartment and try and buy another place. Otherwise, I'm open to the concept of rent vesting, which is just, you know, living and paying rent where you actually want to live and then having an investment property elsewhere. So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Love it.
I promise you this isn't a pop culture podcast, even though we seem to be making a bit of a habit of talking about red carpet events. But in case you missed it, J-Lo and Ben Affleck have been popping up on everyone's socials quite a bit since she ended her engagement with A-Rod back in April. And I don't know about you, Ella, but I have been obsessed with this story.
Oh, I'm obsessed. I'm like, the minute that I saw that picture of them, obsessed.
They were so iconic back when I was in high school. I still remember, I think I'm showing my age here a little bit, but they first started dating in early 2002. They got engaged in November of the same year. So Ben Affleck wanted to lock her down, but then they released a statement a day before their wedding in September 2003, postponing their wedding. Fast forward to January 2004, and they had officially called it quits. So quite a whirlwind romance. And here we are in May 2021, a month after her split with A-Rod, Ben and Jen started being spotted together. And as if we all weren't already way too invested in this shit show, she threw us another bone and posted a picture of her and Ben having a steamy pash on her 52nd birthday.
That's the picture I'm talking about. Like, so hot. I was just like, this is the dream. This is what I've been hoping for.
He looks like he's gotten hotter.
So Ben Affleck has been, just on a side note, Ben Affleck has been my ultimate since I hit puberty, right? So like,
have you seen that feral tattoo on his arm though?
Yeah, that's yeah, that's like, Ben, what are you doing? The smoking is a bit like, but also it's kind of hot. He's so tall, first of all. I've got a bit of a weird obsession with like googling celebrities' heights.
How tall is he?
He's like 192 centimeters or something.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And Toby can probably hear me like frothing over Ben Affleck right now, but oh well. yeah, he's just so hot. I'm obsessed with couples that break up and then find their way back together. And I know we're going to touch on that a little bit later, but these two are my ultimate.
Look, I don't know if I'm as obsessed with Ben Affleck as you, but I still think he's pretty hot. But the height thing for me would definitely get me as well. Love a tall guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. So their first official appearance together finally came last week when they graced the red carpet of the Venice Film Festival together, and here we are. So, Ella, I know you're a fan of couples getting back together. Yep. What are your thoughts? Do you think that they're going to last?
I don't know. I think, look, while I am happy that they've gone back together, obviously, the sort of realist in me is a little bit like, she appears to not be able to be alone. And I've seen that sort of sentiment throughout social media, like a lot of people being like, love these two together, but just a little bit concerned by the fact that J-Lo always has to sort of have someone.
She proper like monkey branches from relationship to relationship.
And yeah. That's what I get a little bit concerned about. If we are kind of going into that as well, like Ben, as we know, married another Jennifer, divorced her, and has kind of been like making the rounds on that. What's that American dating app for celebrities? Is it Rhea or something?
Rhea. And it's not even American. You know, like all the influencers and shit in Australia use it as well.
God, yeah. There you go. How do you get onto Rhea? Does someone have to like endorse you?
Yeah, it's some shit like
that's
that.
That's crazy. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, I digress. You know, I've seen him doing the rounds on Rhea and basically hitting up any kind of young hot thing with, you know, he's definitely got a type. He loves the brunettes with the brown eyes. So I guess I'm his type, which is very exciting.
Love it.
And then he, of course, dated Ana de Armas, that absolutely gorgeous Cuban actress that's been in every kind of movie lately. So that relationship hadn't long been done before he got with J-Lo. So I don't know. I'm really happy that they're back together, of course, but I'm also a little bit dubious. I'm like, oh, are they just kind of filling a void for each other? I don't know if it'll last. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to last. I'm a huge believer of if people break up, it's for a reason and you probably shouldn't be getting back together again. But I know we're talking about a celebrity couple here and it's not really, in quotes, the real world. Where do you sit with people getting back together in real life?
Sometimes I'm like a bit romantic about it and I go, oh, bless, they found their way back together. They must really have something. But also I'm aware that it's not always a good thing and doesn't always mean that they stay together.
So if we want to throw a bit of a stat in there, so the Kansas State University did a study that showed that nearly half of all couples that split end up getting back together. So, you know, this whole J-Lo and Ben Affleck situation that's going on isn't entirely uncommon, even for us common folk. And we did put up a poll on our stories and just under half of you actually said yes, that you've done that. You've broken up and gotten back with an ex. So why do you think that we do it, Ella? Why do you think that we break up and get back together with people?
I think it's that familiarity and that we romanticize people and relationships when we look back on them. It's just something that we innately do. And it's comforting to go back to something that you know. It's like the comfy chair that you like to sit on at home. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is nice. You know, something that sort of molded into part of you. So it's...
I love that analogy, the comfy chair analogy. Love it.
Like belittled people down to pieces of furniture. But you know what I mean? It's that comforting, it's familiar, and you know, we know who that person is. So you don't have to go through all that bullshit again, like when you meet a new person, just try to work out if they're a fucking psycho or not. You know what I mean? So
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Go through that vetting process on a daily basis at the moment. It's fucked.
Right. So have you ever gotten back with an ex, Rav?
Well, as much as I was saying, I think it's dumb that people get back together again, I have done it before. I was quite young when I did it, but yes, I have.
And I'm guessing it imploded eventually.
Yeah, I'm a bit fuzzy on the timeline as to how long we were broken up for and when we got back together. But the shit that we broke up over, which was cheating and all that stuff, it was still there. So
yeah,
that's what I kind of meant when I said people break up for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think things like that take longer than a couple of weeks to work through. So I have, but I don't think I would ever do it again. What about you? Have you broken up and gotten back with an ex?
I have. I have probably gotten back with two or three
Ella.
Serious boyfriends. I know. I have zero willpower. Yeah, look, I've had a lot of boyfriends. So, and look, I'm proud of that. Got to kiss a few frogs before you find the right one. But you make a good point, Rav. It was when I was younger. I feel like now that I'm 30, if it were to, you know, if my relationship were to implode over something like cheating or, you know, something quite sort of unforgivable, I'd like to think I wouldn't go back. I've got a bit more respect for myself now. And yeah.
We had a listener send in a story and I'll just read it to you. I'm not going to try and paraphrase. So I'll just read you the story. 3 months into our relationship, my partner went on a night out with his high school friends and ended up getting really hands-on with another girl. Someone told her that he had a girlfriend and she tracked me down and told me what had happened. We broke up and got back together again a month later and dated for about a year before he went on a trip to Europe with the boys. He cheated while he was there, but never told me. I found out about 3 months after it happened because one of his friends saw him having a go at me on a night out for what I was wearing, as he thought it was too revealing and I was getting too much attention. His friend felt bad for me and told me then what had happened. I confronted him and he denied ever doing it and wrote me essays about how much he loved me, and eventually I started to believe him. We started seeing each other again, and about 6 months into that, I found out he was fucking his ex that he had dated before me. It was exactly the slap in the face that I needed to shake me out of the situation, and we never got back together again after that.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think it sounds like it's got something to do with infidelity. Most of the messages that we got were sort of centered around that.
Yeah.
And the other sort of pattern that I noticed is that it was when people were younger, which doesn't really, you know, J-Lo and Ben aren't really supporting that theory because they got back together like 12 years later.
Yeah, that's a big
gap. Wait, was it 12 years or is it even longer than that? Like 16 or 17 years later? Oh my God, it's literally nearly 20 years later. They broke up in 2004.
Oh my God, that is insane.
17 years. Jesus, I just did the math, quick math. It really wasn't that quick. I think that took me about a minute to figure out. But we digress. Do you think people can change?
Look, I don't think people can change. I think once they do something like that, it means that they're capable. And certainly in my experience, when I have gone back to exes, the same things happened again, the unforgivable thing that made us break up in the first place. So I don't think they can. I think if couples break up over something that's not as hectic as cheating or whatever, I feel like they can make it work. So for example, like people forget that Prince William and Kate broke up for like a year and then they got back together and now everything's fine. But obviously they didn't go through something like cheating or anything like that. So
That we know of.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I don't think cheaters can change.
I feel like people can definitely change, but I think a lot of work goes into that. And where I get a bit confused is when people sort of go away and it's just a matter of spending time apart and then they just come back together again. If I was going to be considering that sort of thing, I'd really want to know what that person's done to sort of work on themselves, whether that's something like therapy or I don't even know what, because I just really struggle to think that I would take someone back now that I'm older if they've cheated on me. It's not just a matter of you go away and, you know, you kind of just are rebirthed as this human that just doesn't cheat on anyone again.
That's right.
It takes a lot to rebuild trust.
Totally. So what advice do you have for someone who might be considering getting back with an ex, Rav?
I think we've probably touched on a lot of that just then in terms of, you know, really understanding that the reason why you guys broke up in the first place is out of the picture and what have they sort of done to work on themselves for that. But I think the biggest thing for me is probably going back to that comfort point that you made, Ella, about the comfy armchair. Great armchair, really comfy. You've kind of like sat in it a few times, totally just molds to your body.
Yeah.
But there's some pretty fucking great furniture out there that you probably never have looked at.
There's some newer, more impressive furniture is what you're saying.
Why would you settle for the shitty old armchair if you could have the new one? I just think people really need to give themselves a break and step away out of the situation for a little bit, because when you go through breakups are hard. I'm sure we can do an episode on the whole motion of going through a breakup and what to do and what not to do. But I think the one thing that people don't do enough of in a breakup is really sort of stepping away from the situation and taking that clean break. Because when you've got that person constantly in your life or in front of you or things reminding you of them, it is really easy to get sucked back into that whole comfortable armchair notion, right?
Totally.
So yeah. I think before you start making decisions about letting that person back into your life, really step away from the situation and evaluate if you're actually happier without them.
Yeah.
Because I think we become complacent real quick.
Totally. And I so agree with that point around wanting to remain friends with that person. And like, oh, we're just going to continue.
Fuck that.
Yeah. That's not going to work unless you have a clean break. I know from experience.
I actually have been in that situation before where I'm only friends with one of my ex-boyfriends and he and I did not become friends. I still wouldn't call him a close friend. I'd probably say like we interact with each other maybe a couple of times a year, if that. But he and I were broken up probably over 10 years before we reconnected again.
Oh, wow.
But what I don't understand is why do people want to be friends with their exes? I'm sorry, but I don't have sex with my friends. So it's not really a friendship.
Well, so you'll probably hate me, Rav. So I know I just said that piece about being friends with your exes and whatnot, but it's worked for me in terms of like, I've given everyone a clean break and not all of my relationships have ended nicely, by the way. Like I've given the relationship the break that it needs. Like we've had no contact, whether that's been for 6 months, a year, more. And then we've checked in with each other and formed a sort of friendship from there. And I think that's fine. I think that's healthy. They were a huge part of your life. I think it's usually a good sign when someone's friends with their exes because it means they don't sort of hold on to bitterness and all that sort of stuff and anger. Not saying that about you, Rav, of course.
I was like, well, yeah, that kind of explains me in a nutshell.
No, not at all.
No, but in all seriousness, like I get it. I get people wanting to be friends with their exes. I think I'm not wired that way. I know not everyone is. Everyone's different. But I think the thing that gets to me is when people people sort of flip that switch straight away. And I think that's where they're kind of kidding themselves. It's got nothing to do with you wanting to be friends with them. It's because you still want that person in your life in whatever capacity. Maybe you're not ready to let go of the relationship, but you just have to sit through that discomfort of having no contact and having that clean break. And I know it's hard. I know it's shit. I've been there, but that's the only thing that's going to give you clarity as to like whether that person should or shouldn't be in your life and whether you even really want them in your life.
That's right. Amen.
It's time for our favorite segment, Listener Dilemmas. Ladies, loving the podcast. Can you ladies please shed some light on best openers on dating apps? Do women realize how much pressure they put on guys? I feel like they expect us to come across as someone who has an amazing career and does stand-up comedy on the side. I've matched with girls that state they love deep conversation on their profiles. Then they open with a, hey, is that...
Hey.
Oh, that's funny. Hey, is something funny to open with normally a safe bet? I also feel like men are a lot more forgiving when it comes to openers. Thoughts?
Oh, bless. I like this person. I must say I agree that I think men are a lot more forgiving when it comes to openers, but that I think we know why. They don't necessarily place as much importance on good conversation as women do. They're sort of more interested in what the girl looks like, I feel.
I totally agree with that. I think they're not as into having deep conversations. Even just today, I was literally talking to this guy on a dating app and all we said was, hey, how are you? Good. How are you? Should we add each other on Insta? That was the whole conversation. Oh, and I was just like, really? You think this conversation is that riveting that we should move it to Instagram? And then he unmatched me straight after that.
So you did say that to him. Wow. I love your balls.
Amazing. I don't need more friends. I've got friends.
Yeah. And you barely know this guy. So what's the story? Like you follow each other on Instagram, nothing comes of it, and then you've just got this weird guy lurking on your Instagram. Like,
it's bizarre. Anyway, yeah, we digress. Sorry. Going back to helping out our listener.
Yeah, in terms of just saying more than hey, I definitely think comedy or a point of difference is key in differentiating yourself from the sea of men on those apps. In saying that though, I haven't been on these apps in years. I think I was on Tinder for like 24 hours once, so I'm not necessarily the best person to ask. So Rev, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you. Being funny goes a long way. I typically respond to people who throw something funny my way. I'm not going to lie. If somebody just says hi to me, I'm going to say hi back as well. I'm not just going to write them off because they didn't have a quirky opener. But I do think that, I know you said, Ella, you haven't been on the apps for a while, and Tinder's a piece of shit for, you know, conversation starters anyway. But the apps like Bumble and Hinge have what they call prompts on them. You know, it'll ask you a question like, the best way to win me over is, and then you fill out the blanks. So most people, and I think on Hinge, you actually have to have prompts on your profile. Otherwise, you can't have an active profile. So if somebody has gone to the effort of filling out that part of their profile, I think leverage that. And I don't have enough information from this listener as to like whether he's been doing this, but that is a really good place to start, because as soon as somebody makes a comment on one of my prompts, I'm instantly like more inclined to want to talk to them, because it shows that they're paying attention regardless of what the end goal is here, whether you're looking to get into a relationship with someone or if it's just a casual thing. You need to still try and form a connection. And I think that's the best way to connect with someone, when you comment on something that they've been open about, rather than just commenting on a photo. But in saying that, I know he said that men are more forgiving and all that shit. I think women put much more effort into their profiles, which is why we're less forgiving. Because the amount of dudes that I come across, especially on Bumble, where I don't think it's mandatory for you to have prompts on your profile, people will literally just have like six photos of themselves. And it's like, when did it become a thing? It's like me going for a job interview and just sending them six photos of myself.
Yeah.
Give me something else. Yeah, I can see you look great. What else are you bringing to the table?
Yeah, I agree.
But not to completely douse the whole situation in negativity, I still think dating apps are a great way to meet people and continue to put yourself out there. It's great that you're thinking about this, because I know so many men that just really don't care to think that much about this sort of thing, because to them it's just a matter of like throw a line out, see who bites.
Yeah.
So it's good that you're thinking about it. Just don't take it to heart too much if people are being a little bit weird at the moment though, because I do think that a lot of people are out there on the apps in today's climate just because they're bored. It might be people who are living alone and that's kind of their way to interact and sort of escape away from the day-to-day working from home shit that's going on. So, yeah, keep going with it all. If you have any specific examples, chuck them our way. We love the tea, so good luck.
We do. Alrighty, guys, I think that's all we've got time for today. Hope you're able to take something away from today's episode. Please leave us a rating on iTunes if you haven't already, and share with all of your friends and family. And thank you for the support as always. We will catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.